Amen. Turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians and the 6th chapter, as we would say in South Africa, 1 Corinthians. I learned how to speak a South African to think like they did. One time I asked them to turn to the book of Philemon, and they didn't know where to go. And I learned it was Philemon, and so I learned how to be a little different. One of the blessings that came from being able to be in South Africa is just to have been able to study and understand people, and many times to learn from them. One of the things that helped us to be able to be used to the Lord is when we told the people, as much as we might teach you, we want to learn from you. And so they started teaching us some things, many times cultural things. And there came a time when some individuals said, Pastor Moore, you are an African American. And I thought, okay, tell me more. And they said, well, you understand how we think. You can understand where we're coming from and what's important to us, and you can even act like we do at times. That's the African part. But you're from the United States. That's the American part. But the African part is more important to us, so we put that first. And so to us, you're an African American. And I thought, well, that works for me. And I encouraged my children to mark the African American box on all college applications. Since we're African-American, we might as well be honest about it even as we're here. I have a one-point message. I do appreciate those who have labored and worked and yet made a priority to be here this evening. And may the Lord bless you greatly for making a priority on a missions conference even after the first day of the work week here. And so I have a one-point message. My one point of the message is that which is spiritual, it requires discipleship. If there's a theme to what we just heard Phil talk about here, it is the need for disciples in the works that remain. Disciples are people who choose after salvation by grace to be more loyal to God than to themselves. Their traditions, which includes their religious traditions in some cases, and even their culture. Tonight I'm going to preach on the topic of traditions and culture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray today that you would help us to be more loyal to you than even those things which we find as our earliest learnings, maybe religious traditions in some cases, or family traditions, or even cultural traditions. Lord, we can at times see these as being very important to us. It seems like the natural way to do things. And yet, we are to be more loyal unto you and the things that we learn as we become Christians and believers. And this is one of the key aspects to discipleship, learning to die daily in many cases, learning to love God with the whole heart, learning as even was demonstrated to us in our special music, the ability to communicate not only words, but with the heart. And I pray these things in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Church planning and missions, even simple Bible Christianity, is just as much about the need for the transformed life of the believer as it is about salvation. Now, I fear that's at risk in our minds here as Americans. I believe Christianity, to be saved, is free, and to be a disciple is very expensive. The Christian life, according to the will of God, is both free and expensive. And I have seen a number who have embraced the free, but have been very hesitant as it pertains to the expensive. I believe the Scriptures say both are the will of God concerning you and me. And yet it can be very tempting. And I think what is being presented as Christianity in our nation is a lot of the free, and not much of the expensive. When I enter into the courts of heaven, certainly I will not be able to enter in unless I'm a believer, unless I'm a Christian. But I truly want to enter in being known as a disciple as well. Traditions and cultures are many times the things that cause us to perhaps hesitate and to pay the expensive price. The Bible indicates that the very first Christians beyond Hebrews were radically changed Gentiles. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. The Bible tells us, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, my brethren. neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, the effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, nor extorters, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And notice verse 11. And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified or set apart. You're justified, made just as if you'd never sinned, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Here the Bible tells us a list of individuals who couldn't inherit the kingdom of God. And in verse 11, it indicates that this Corinthian audience, this is what they were like. Such were some of you. And these first believers not only embraced the free, apparently by the Spirit of God and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they also embraced the expensive and became radically changed individuals. Can others see a change in you after your salvation? Well, I suppose if we do not want to embrace the expensive, we many times want to appear as close to the world as we can be. Christ said we should be in the world, but not of it. I remember as my family and I, as younger Christians, went to the grocery store. And we had some little ones there, and my wife and I. And I remember an individual came up to us, and they asked this simple question. May I ask if you're believers? We sense that you're believers. Now, I really don't know what it was that they sensed. Did we dress differently? Did we conduct ourselves in a certain manner? Maybe it was a combination of many things. But somehow, that individual was able to pick us apart as being different. And it drew them to ourselves in order to ask us that question. And certainly that was a blessing to be able to be counted as a representative of Christ. But let me tell you, it meant change in us. And I appreciate the fact that Christ not only laid that foundation of salvation, he desired to build upon it. And that he would move in our hearts and show us areas that needed to change by God's grace that we might embrace discipleship as well. Missionaries and pastors need believers who grow in grace as God works. It's important for this place to go on. It's important for the work that is on the field that God has called the missionary to be able to succeed. Now, one area of greatly needed change for many of the believers, at least on the foreign fields and increasingly here, concerns immoral practices, cultures, or traditions. I remember as we would have a new believer come about, we wanted to sense where was God working in this individual's life. We wanted to work where the Spirit of God was working. And so we may have an individual who makes a profession of faith in Christ. We want to immediately disciple them. And that individual may come to those discipleships. And there for a while, they may be, as one of the individuals was before us, he had a pack of cigarettes. And he shows up to the first discipleship. Now, I didn't point out anything or say anything about the cigarettes. We worked where we perceived the finger of God was working in his life. And the first step of discipleship was for him was be in church whenever the doors were open. And so we worked on those things, and we talked about those things of the Scripture, and we saw that milk applied and that individual grow. A week later, the second discipleship lesson came, and he might have even asked for a smoke break, which was fine. We were gracious in that sense. And we worked on prayer. What does it mean to pray? And then in that third discipleship lesson, a week later, the individual asked a question. Pastor, I've been wondering, I've been thinking that maybe I shouldn't smoke cigarettes. Well, amen. Let's take a look at those kinds of things. I sense the Spirit of God is working in your heart in this area. I want to work where the Spirit of God is working, because as he builds upon that foundation, he is going to call that individual to steps of discipleship. By the way, if you dig in your heels and say no to God, you're really halting the process, which is for your benefit and your blessing. And we were excited to be able to see individuals change, even as the Scriptures indicate, has been this way since the beginning of the church, radically changed individuals. Discipleship. Well, invariably, especially in a foreign culture, there were certain traditions and cultures which would come up at points in time as a confrontation, really, of loyalty. To be loyal to the things of Christ, or to be loyal to the traditions that one had that were immoral. The culture, which if one violated, one would stand out greatly and pay a price. Now, let's first make sure we remind ourselves that traditions are not all bad. Culture's not all bad. Traditions are important ways and practices that give our family or our collective identity as a nation special meaning. And many fine traditions have passed down from generation to generation. I remember at Christmas time as one wing of the Moore family tree there had some Swedish roots in it, apparently. And so it was Christmas time, and it was time for the special Christmas lutefisk. There was little Johnny, but maybe 4 or 5 years old, and as the tradition dictated, the youngest in the family got the first piece of slimy, yucky lutefisk. But little Johnny did not know what was coming. And so as the plate was brought before him, his tender little fingers reached out and grabbed one, and it alighted upon his tongue, and he immediately rejected it back into the plate. Oh! Sadly, lutefisk is so nasty, they didn't know which piece I expelled back onto the plate. Probably didn't taste any different anyway. But it was family, and it was tradition, and there would be nothing wrong with such. Where we have to be careful, though, is where traditions and cultures confront with the things of Scripture. If you're a Christian, you'll find the Bible has some traditions that we too learn as new believers. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible describes such a process beginning at verse 13. Judging yourselves. My friends, I think you can understand this. Is it comely? Is it appropriate that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But notice verse 16. If any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. I believe church verse 16 is indicating to us that as believers, we have a biblical culture. We have respect onto teachings that confront and convict us. We ultimately learn that conviction from God is good. And we have, in our churches of God, a perspective that is otherwise unnatural, or maybe even contrary to some other cultures and such. Conviction from God is good. I hope you believe in that. Now, I know people may manipulate, but godly conviction always has your best in mind. I remember that was a hard lesson for me to learn as a new Christian. I avoided conviction. I tried to hide things that otherwise might produce it as an unsaved individual. But I came to learn a new truth that put me in a position of either continuing to go the way that I'd always known and maybe thought it worked for me, or embracing something that was new and trusting God that this was the right way to go. When God convicted me, it was a good thing. He had my best interest in mind. And so I learned to respond to conviction, to ask God in many cases where I might not quite clearly see, Lord, if you'll show it to me clearly, I'll respond to godly conviction. I wonder at times if we might not be losing that culturally. I wonder if we do not have the same appreciation for this simple Bible tradition or custom as perhaps we once did. Well, this is but one problem. Many times, as a missionary goes to a foreign field, he starts seeing some even bigger problems. Cultures that teach in their traditions things that are very opposite of what the Bible teaches. forgets shades of gray, it's black and white. What do I do if my family or culture teaches things that are opposite from what the Bible teaches? Saul, before he believed and became the Apostle Paul, had this very problem. Galatians chapter 1. Paul testifies in Galatians chapter 1 that his own traditions opposed him from doing what was pleasing to God. In this case, these were religious traditions. Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, it's not after man. I didn't receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ. Then Paul goes on to admit what was his religious background. Ye have heard of my conversation, my lifestyle, in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine own equals in my own nation, how? Being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Paul admitted he was rooted in Jewish religious tradition. And by tradition, he came to fight against the very things of God. Had God not interceded in Paul's life, these Jewish traditions would have sent Paul to hell. You know, I found that I had these same struggles and problems as a missionary. Did I struggle with the African traditions of worshiping my dead relatives as many of those in our midst did? No. My culture brought its own ingrained challenges that I took with me to the missions field. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. My culture is a very time-managed culture. I guess it's one in which business gets done, but over time I found that it caused me to think differently than God did. Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 13. Then there were brought unto him, Jesus, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked, tried to correct or stop those who were bringing them. But notice the mind of God, verse 14. Jesus said, suffer, allow little children, forbid them not to come unto me. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. You know, many cultures really do not have much of a priority for little children. That's a manly way of thinking, but it's not godly. And I found that as an American, I took with me a perspective of how time should work and what it meant to be on time and what it meant to have time for others or time for things that were more important. And I learned that the African culture was actually closer to this Bible than my own. And I learned I need to think like God does. I need to have the right priorities in the right places like God does. And this confronted me of my own culture. I remember the African woman who, as I visited her, she said to me one day, Pastor Moore, you really care about people. And so I asked, well, what makes you think that? And she said, you have time for people. How do you know that? When you come, you visit for more than 15 minutes at a time. What I would do is I would come and I would visit and I would let her determine how long I should be there, within reason, of course. But after an hour, maybe an hour and 30 minutes or so, I could see certain cues that she was ready for the visit to be end. A person who goes and opens the door and does this, they're ready for the visit to end, right? Or look at your watch. Well, she was nicer than that to me. But I found that she perceived something of me by the way I handled time and the priority of the visit to her. Africa has a culture where they have time for one another. And I easily could have missed that opportunity to really show the love and the care of Christ if I'd missed that and walked in the steps of my own culture. To be a disciple meant a time came when I needed to understand these things and make the choice by God's grace to think differently than I naturally did. I know many African believers have some very hard traditional choices. The eldest son is expected in many of those cultures to brew a funeral beer as part of ancestor worship when their dad dies. There's a tradition that causes great havoc upon the culture. It's called lobola. Because women do not have much value, their fathers own them and can sell them for cattle to whomsoever bids a price for them. This means as a young lady and a young man desire to be together, typically he cannot afford the price that would otherwise be demanded for that daughter. And so many times they live together. Some women want to prove that they're valuable, that they can produce children before someone will commit to the price. These are very bad traditions and cultures, very much contrary to the things that we would see in Scripture. But for a young Christian couple there, to do what's right is going to bring them to a very expensive choice. A choice that may cause them to be identified as traitors to their own people because of their greater loyalty to the things of God. My friends, I'll admit, God has shown me a thing or two wherein I realize that that which I grew up in and was familiar to me was different than what the Bible had to teach. But I found the prices that I had to pay many times paled in comparison to what others were brought to. But they're questions of discipleship. In order to obey the Bible, a believer may be called a traitor. They may lose family. A man set against his father. A daughter against his mother. A daughter against her mother-in-law. Even as Luke 6:22 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you," meaning love you less comparatively, "when they shall separate you from their company, shall reproach, say bad things about you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake." I remember the couple. The Grahams worked with them first and showed them a number of things in the Scriptures as they grew in the things of the Lord as it pertained to how God thought about marriage and how one ought to do things right. And I remember as I learned of this couple who we later became familiar with, and how they shared that in their tribe they were known as coconuts, which means white on the inside and black on the outside. It was as though their people were saying the things of God were a racial issue. Those were disciples. Those are individuals through which God will build a work upon. Those are the kinds of individuals that we need here in the States as well. I'd like to encourage you to pray for every missionary that God separates onto him believers who choose not to deny the Father which is in heaven. Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 5, "The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Jesus, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders? They eat bread with unwashed hands." By the way, anything wrong with eating bread with unwashed hands? Mom would have taught us to do so, right? Here's the problem. "He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, double-minded. As it is written, These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain, in emptiness, do they worship me, teaching for doctrine or Bible truth the commandments of men. They'd made an exchange of what should have been taught by Bible truth with commandments traditions and cultures of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. Oh, may it never be said of us that we had greater loyalty onto culture or tradition above the things of God and were considered by him to be hypocrites or double-minded. Four items here. There is the appearance of doing right, and there is the heart. There is also Bible truth, and there is commandments of men, or that which men consider to be more important. Colossians 2:8 tells us in our day and age, beware, be careful, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or principles of the world and not after Christ. I fear there are new cultures, new traditions perhaps, that are springing up, some of which are perfectly fine, but others, I sense a drawing of a line in the sand. A drawing of a line in the sand for to whom will we have greater loyalty onto? And you send forth missionaries who many times have to deal with issues such as these I've shared with onto you. And we see believers who put the greater faith and loyalty onto Christ, pay the price greatly. Those individuals God uses to even build works like we have seen represented here this evening. But what of ourselves? I've noticed in some assemblies, people will pray that a missionary sees souls saved. But I don't frequently hear such prayer that that same missionary receives individuals who are disciples. And I wonder, is that a reflection perhaps of where we're at? Maybe we just don't know, but is it a reflection that we embrace the free and hesitate at the expensive? You know, if we would learn to pray that missionaries not only see souls saved, but individuals who embrace discipleship, it might just affect our hearts as well and cause us to consider the importance of discipleship in our lives and the importance of it in a church such as this. I want to close with a true story of an American soldier in World War II in the Pacific. There he was in World War II on some particular island, and they were fighting the Japanese, and in the confusion of the battle, he became separated from his platoon. He was very nervous about this because of the fierceness of the fighting, and so he wanted to kind of get his bearings and orientation, and he found some islanders. They proved themselves to be friendly. He found that they not only understood English, they also were familiar with Americans. Wow, what a good break. And as he talked with them and they reorientated him as to where the Americans were and where the Japanese were, they had some small talk. And he found out they were Christians. He mocked them. All the way out here, thousands of miles removed from any civilization, you believe in a bunch of fairy tales written in a book? The islanders replied to that American soldier with these words, were it not for the things of Christ, we would have eaten you already. For this was a cannibalistic island for as long as anyone had known, until the gospel came forth in the hands of a God-sent missionary. Now, thankfully, those islanders not only received Christ as Savior, it changed them as they became disciples. And they learned to cast aside traditions and culture that was forever, as far as they knew, and to embrace the things that the Bible said that men should be presented the gospel to and no longer eaten as tasty before meal and dinner snacks. I find it also interesting that this man in this story was being blessed by the things of the Bible when he did not know it. I wonder how many times that is true of us as well. When we are blessed by the things of the Bible and we do not know it, and yea, might rail against it. I think that describes a bit of the battle that we find ourselves in our day and age as well. The will of God concerning you and me is not only to receive Christ as Savior, to receive the free, expensive to God, free to us, salvation, but to also understand the things of discipleship. Those things wherein we have greater loyalty onto Christ, building upon that foundation, things that radically change us as God's finger works in our life and He uses that good work of conviction and gives us the opportunity to respond to it. I don't believe there's a missionary today who would say, I could see a work of God built just upon those who receive the free. There's a great need for discipleship there as well. I believe the future of this church rides upon the very same thing. Who will not only receive the things of Christ that are free, salvation, who will say, God, show me the things that are going to cost me. Give me the grace as you show me those things, perhaps even in my own changing culture or of my own traditions, those things wherein you desire the greater loyalty onto you, those things that are going to cause me to be a little out of step with the world I live in, but I'll tell you what, it's better to be loyal unto God and to enter into the courts of heaven as a disciple than to be ashamed of the things of God and to miss out on what God could have done in your lives. Let's pray. Heavenly